Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what is the meaning of the Hebrew word reshimu? That was an excerpt from Gather the Sparks from the CD of the same name by our guest this week, Yitzhak Atias. Yitzhak is a percussionist and songwriter originally from Gibraltar, a British colony in the south of Spain. Having grown up on the Mediterranean, Yitzhak's music has African, Latin, and flamenco influences and draws inspiration from a Torah-based spiritual path. He's performed and recorded with many musicians and groups, and as a percussionist and singer, he's toured Europe and North and South America. Gather the Sparks, which is his first CD, received acclaim for its innovative fusion of Latin and Jewish content. His latest CD, Reshimu, is a musical journey combining Yitzhak's memories of Gibraltar, his continual awe of natural landscapes, and his spiritual yearnings and wanderings. Currently, Yitzhak performs with his wife, flutist Tamar Atias, in a performance workshop they developed called the Reshimu Musical Experience. Using flutes and percussion instruments from around the world, they explore the wonders of the divine in creation. We've included a link to a video where you can get a better idea of the workshop and how participants feel about it.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Yitzhak. I'd first like to ask you a little bit about your own background. You grew up in Gibraltar. Can you tell us a little bit what that was like?
Growing up in Gibraltar was really actually quite a unique experience. It's a very small, tight community. Interactivity is wonderful. As a people, a lot of help and very safe environment also. And growing up really amongst a very, I think, a very traditional, religious, but very accepting community in that we grew up being very proud of being Jewish. At the same time, getting along pretty well with our non-Jewish neighbors, which was really great. Almost like a model of what could be.
That would be nice. So there was a relationship, a lot of interaction among the different communities there.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, and a lot of respect also.
And did you come into Spain a lot, or was that the time when the border was closed? That was a long time the border was closed.
When I was a little boy, we used to go to Spain constantly. I mean, every Sunday was spent in Spain out in the countryside, and it was really wonderful. And at one point, the border closed, and obviously that changed things. I actually was sent to school in England at the age of 12, so I spent a few years studying in England in a boarding school, so I sort of felt it less, but for those who stayed behind, the rest of the community, it was pretty hard just to be cooped up in the rock. But, you know, thank God we made do, you know, we like survived.
Tell us how you came to music. Did that happen in Gibraltar?
It happened in Gibraltar when I was around about, like 11, 12, I began to develop this, mainly through drumming. I was hand drumming a lot. And I just found music to be almost like a haven. And whenever I play music, I always felt transported, and it felt things felt good. I just felt very, very, very comfortable within that. And the more I did it, the more I enjoyed it. And of course, in Gibraltar, there were not a lot of opportunities for me to do that. So I began to look to other places where I'd be able to interact with other musicians, you know, and ended up being in Israel. But yeah.
So when did you go to Israel?
The first time I came to Israel was at the age of 18. I came to a kibbutz with a cousin of mine. And I just really what I fell in love mostly when in Israel was the desert, the sort of biblical terrain that really sparked a lot of wonderful thoughts and imagination, I think, for me at least. That was really my connection.
So it wasn't the multicultural character of Gibraltar then that influenced you as much as Israel?
Well, I'll tell you, my style of music, it really did do that. Meaning growing up in Gibraltar, I was brought up in that milieu, really. There was, of course, the influence of just a regular Western music, pop music, rock music, but also the Spanish music. Flamenco was heard constantly in the radio and TV. And also coming from North Africa, from Morocco, there was a lot of influence, at least for me, rhythmically. Africa also had a lot of influence. From Gibraltar, you can see the coast of Africa is about 14 miles away. So, and we'd go to Morocco a lot as children, as young children would be taken by my parents there for holidays. And that had a big influence on my music. So it really, it's a mixture of, I guess, regular Western music, a lot of Spanish music, and of course the music of the Bet Knesset, synagogue that I grew up in, and had also a tremendous influence. Actually, the older I get, the more I realize how much it influenced me. When I came to Israel, really, it was really the first time I was able to express it, with other musicians and share that kind of music with others, and which I wasn't able to do that so much in Gibraltar.
So when you were in Israel and when you came into contact with these other musicians, were they also familiar with the flamenco and with the African influences that you knew, or did they have to learn about them?
No, I met musicians. One of the things I loved about Israel, which I'm sure you know also, it's a real, talk about melting pot. It just, for example, the first album I put out, Gather the Sparks, had a Canadian drummer, a Peruvian bass guitarist, a terrific musician from Argentina playing guitar and keyboards. A lot of musicians came from different parts of the world that were living in Israel, but that was really a common ground. But they also brought their own influences, but it was all under the sort of the umbrella of the way, my songs and what I was envisioning. But yeah, and it broadened me also. It broadened my horizons, no question about it.
Speaking about Gather the Sparks, it received acclaim for its innovative fusion of Latin and Jewish content. Can you tell us about the fusion?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think I can say there was probably the first attempt at bringing in other elements to what was Jewish music way back in the 80s, there was a lot of different fusions from a lot of American musicians arriving in Israel, and they were bringing in influences of bluegrass and country and rock and pop and mixed in with Jewish ideas, I guess, Israeli music. And because I was coming from where I was coming from, I really felt that there was no less valid for me to actually, dress up some of, for example, verses from the Torah in this garb of the music that I grew up in, which was much more, I guess, Latin, much more Hispanic. But really, what I mean to say is that the content of the music was really coming from mainly from from inspirations, you know, from the Torah. I mean, from my Judaism, at least, you know, Judaism as we grew up in. And it was being dressed up in this Hispanic kind of sound.
Can you go into that a little more? On your webpage, you say that your work draws inspiration from a Torah-based spiritual path. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, you have these other influences as well, which probably have nothing to do with Judaism or with the Torah. Can you explain the spiritual path?
Sure. So first of all, my spiritual path, the path that I follow is obviously very well grounded in mainstream Judaism, meaning I'm an observant Jew. I draw great inspiration from a particular teacher that lived about 200 years ago, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. And he speaks a lot about music. And he speaks a lot about the idea that the world itself is a sort of open ground for us to engage in and engage in a positive way. So for me, engaging in other kinds of music, whatever they may be, I don't see them specifically as non-Jewish. First of all, there's no real Jewish music because if you go to Morocco, the Jewish music from Morocco sounds like Moroccan music. Mm-hmm. And if you go, of course, to the musicians from Ashkenazi countries, klezmer, for example, has a lot of influences of the music from those parts, you know, or the Balkans. When I was in the army here, I remember we were some Ethiopians, and when they started singing some of their songs, and it was just really beautiful because it sounded totally African. I mean, just rhythmically and melodically. But there was Jewish music. It was Jewish music because it had a certain kind of yearning that expressed some kind of Jewish, aspiration. And really, that's, I think, what I'm trying to say. My Torah-based spiritual path is I'm using music as a means to express my belief, I guess.
You know, it's interesting what you're saying because it reminds me suddenly a lot of Jewish food because, you know, since Jews are all over the world, wherever there are Jews, they've kind of adopted the food of whatever country they're in following the Jewish dietary laws, but adopting the style of food. And it sounds to me like this is something that happened with music also.
Well, that is a great, I think you that is a great comparison. It really is. I mean, I think it expresses it beautifully because, like you say, depending where you're from, you're going to be using the spices or the ingredients, you know, that were available in those lands. You know, my wife is actually a musician also, Tamar, but she comes from Ashkenazi background. And I notice a lot of, for example, the desserts that she makes are a lot of apple strudels and, you know, things were available, I guess, in the countries that her ancestors came from, you know. And I grew up with desserts made out of almonds and, a lot of almonds. We ate a lot of olives and olive oil in the cooking. So, yeah, but it's still, yeah, like you're saying, it's still somehow, it is still some kind of Jewish dish, you know, expresses something. Different dishes are used at different parts of the year, different chagim, you know, festivals, and that makes it Jewish. But the ingredients are going to be influenced very, very much by the culture that people are from. So music is the same thing. So thank you for the comparison.
So tell us about Azamer, the video that you produced with the flamenco musicians.
That was a really beautiful experience. I had this idea to create this video, and I live here in Israel, so it was not easy for me to find musicians in Spain. There's a lot of great musicians, but I really wanted to find people I felt I could really work with and would be open to playing a song like this. And thank God I found this great guitarist who lives in the area of Cadiz, and José Carlos Gómez, which is he's a wonderful guitarist. And I sat with him with a song, and we spent the whole day together working on it, planning it and just laying it out. And then I found this amazing cantador and flamenco singer, Blas Cordova Martín, who lives in Barcelona. And I flew him over, he and his wife came, to Gibraltar, and we actually recorded it in St. Michael's Cave in Gibraltar, a very beautiful cave. I really wanted to have the element. And they were just wonderful. It was just really fantastic to also interact with them on a personal level, not just as musicians, but we had some great conversations, especially with Blas, the singer. He's an extremely talented and equally humble person, very religious. You know, he's Christian. And that also was really, we had some really very deep conversations. And I felt really I was on, like with a brother, you know, really felt very close. And that to me also was very encouraging in terms of the, I guess, the universal quality of music, the language of music. And he was well aware also that the song that we were recording and videoing it is really a prayer. It's a religious song. And he took it very, very strongly. He really took it very seriously. So that was a magnificent experience. And I, God willing, I hope to do more of these things. It really interests me to reach out as a musician.
If any of our listeners would like to see a video of Azamer, we're putting a link on this page.
Tell us about your latest CD, Reshimu. Is that the right pronunciation? Reshimu?
Yeah, Reshim. Yeah, Reshim. Yeah.
What does the word mean?
Reshimu means impression. Reshimu is actually has a got different nuances. It means impression. It means afterglow. It means like something, almost like when something beautiful happens and then there's some kind of scent that's left afterwards of whatever happened, some kind of memory. That's what Reshimu means. And it's a very deep, like mystical concept that's taught that everything in the world, everything in the universe has that presence of God in it. So I wrote 12, I didn't write all the songs, but I recorded 12 songs expressing what my Reshimu was, my impressions were of the world, memories of my childhood and different places in the world that I've been that have been very inspiring. And I use a lot of different sounds, percussive sounds from parts of the world, and also many wonderful musicians that I use from here, mainly from Israel. And thank God, you know, it really expresses a lot of what I've been feeling for many years. So I'm very happy with it.
So let's listen to one of the pieces on Reshimu. This is called Siempre, and the singing is in Spanish.
And what is the Reshimu musical experience? That's something that your wife contributes to also, doesn't she?
Yeah. So Tamar, my wife Tamar, is a wonderful flautist. And we developed this workshop. It's like a performance workshop. We're combining, it's really a workshop of music, nature, and spiritual teachings. Again, drawing from the Torah, from Judaism, very universal in nature. And what we do is we perform and we share instruments with the participants, so they themselves are actually, even though most people who come are not musicians, but they actually end up creating musical pieces with us. It's a very, very beautiful experience.
Where do these people come from? I'm sorry.
Oh, we've only done this in Israel, but the participants, we've had all kinds of participants of different shades and colors and cultures. And that's really satisfying. It really is a beautiful experience to see. Also, because to be able to experience like people who are not musicians, be able to feel what it is to actually participate in the creation of musical pieces is very satisfying, and it's a beautiful experience.
So all the participants are from Israel?
Well, not Israelis. No, no. Anybody who wants to come can come. Mm-hmm. I'm saying so far we've had from different parts of the world, including Israelis, but then could be Americans or whatever, with Argentinians, whatever, whoever arrives. It's pretty open. We announce when it's going to be held and where it's going to be held, and then people get in touch with us and they show up. We do this.
How many have you done so far?
Oh, quite a few. We started about 3.5 years ago, something like that. Then we've done, I don't know, I've lost count really. And then we do what we do also is we have like small, sometimes people want like a small group, some evening that somebody might want to host an evening in their home. And then we'll customize it to suit the needs, you know. So we might not do the whole program, but we'll do parts of the program.
And can you tell us something about the profile of these people, like how old they are? They're men and women both? Are they children?
I'll be honest with you. The nature, we've done these things for children also and for teenagers. But we found that the kind of music and the kind of, attention and focus that is needed, that we like having, we find like people, 25 and older is a good age. And if, when I say older, I mean like much, much, much older. We've had, you know, elderly people do this also. But generally speaking, anybody who's willing to sit with us for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and be focused and not talk, not chat whilst we're doing this, and just be with us and participate in the music making. And I guess be taken where we're going musically, then I think it's, thank God, we've had amazing reactions to that. We actually have a video. I do not know if I actually showed you the video of this, but we have a video that was produced of the actual workshop. And like I said before, it's a beautiful experience to see people really feel the energized of you know, from the music itself.
So they're like about the same amount of men and women who do it, or more men or more women?
No, it's interesting. Women seem to really love these events. Men are a little bit cautious when it comes to these things, a little bit too spiritual, or you have to close your eyes, or you have to be a little bit, like more vulnerable and more. No, men are got a long way to go.
That's interesting.
Mostly it's women. Yeah, no, mostly it's going to be women. Women are very open to this, at least here in Israel. Women are very, very open to this. That's what I found, at least, which is a pity, but, you know, but hopefully men will wake up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. I'll leave you now with Nitana from Yitzhak's latest album, Reshimu. See you next week. Meroshenir v'hermon Tashu
Shuri mero shamana. Esta es la excelencia, fuentes de aguas muy claras, que es la luz de nuestras caras. Todos hagan la reverencia.
Vamos allá.
De ella tomemos licencia, que nos da larga el ardén, que de embebar amor. Una gente muy leitana y toda la nunitana. Y toda la nunitana. Señora de los deitados, gente que tal joya tiene, que sean bienaventurados. Cuando fuimos ajuntados en el monte de Sinai, Bani Matem Lashem, Aniba Ugoshiana. Toda la nunitana, y toda la nunitana.
Delante de